English USA vous présente African Voices in Conversation, des conversations en anglais qui ont attrait à la vie quotidienne au Sénégal. Pour télécharger ces leçons, allez sur le site internet www.lavoixdelamérique.com, cliquez sur « Apprenez l'anglais » et retrouvez les leçons d'anglais spéciales Sénégal. Nous allons retrouver Uncle Daouda et son neveu Badou. Ancien champion de lutte, Daouda opposera à nouveau ses idées à celles de Badou, notre futur champion. Si pour le premier, on luttait pour l'honneur, pour le second, le sport est un business. Nous allons les écouter. Vous répondrez par vrai ou faux, true ou false, à ces énoncés. 1. La lutte traditionnelle est devenue le sport le plus populaire après le football dans le pays de Uncle Daouda et de Badou. 2. Du temps de Daouda, les jeunes filles offraient de beaux pagnes aux champions de lutte. Vous allez maintenant répondre à ces trois questions. 1. Quel est le mot que Uncle Daouda ne veut pas entendre en sport? 2. Du temps de Daouda, que remportait un champion de lutte après une victoire? 3. Que promet Badou à son oncle s'il devient champion et riche? Vous allez enfin apprendre à exprimer votre accord et votre désaccord en utilisant le gérondif avec « ing » comme sujet dans la phrase. Nous allons les écouter.
It's a scandal. Wrestling is no longer a real sport in this country.
No way, uncle. Today, wrestling is even more popular than football and wrestlers are rich now.
Absolutely. If it's a real sport, it should not be all about money. Rich? That's one word I don't want to hear in sports. It's morally wrong.
Sorry, uncle. Times have changed.
Do you wrestle to be rich, Badou?
Yeah, of course. Why else would I kill myself building my body, lifting heavy stones, running and boxing for the money?
In my day, wrestling was a matter of honor.
Oh, some honor. What did a champion get? A sack of rice or a donkey?
We were admired and respected. The young girls loved us and offered us beautiful gloves. We were stars.
Village stars. Real sport stars are earning up to $20 million per year.
That's crazy. What can a normal person do with so much money?
Plenty of things. Investing, starting a business, giving to the poor, making people happy. Come on, uncle. You don't want to live the good life?
Of course I do.
Then just wait until I become an international wrestling champion. Get rich and change your life. Come on, uncle. Let's wrestle.
Oh, I don't think so, Badou. You can beat the champion.
Oh, yeah. If you beat me, you win 2 sacks of rice and 4 donkeys.
Nous avons écouté l'oncle et son neveu. L'énoncé 1 est faux. La lutte traditionnelle est devenue le sport le plus populaire après le football dans le pays de Uncle Daouda et de Badou. L'énoncé 2 est vrai. Du temps de Daouda, les jeunes filles offraient de beaux pagnes aux champions de lutte. Voilà les réponses aux questions. 1. Quel est le mot que Uncle Daouda ne veut pas entendre en sport? Riche. 2. Du temps de Daouda, que remportait un champion de lutte après une victoire? Un sac de riz ou un âne? 3. Que promet Badou à son oncle s'il devient champion et riche? De changer la vie de son oncle. Écoutez et répétez ces expressions et leur traduction en français. Absolutely. Absolument ou tout à fait. You're right. T'as raison. Of course. Bien sûr. Ces expressions expriment l'accord. Répétez aussi ces expressions également entendues dans le dialogue. It's a scandal. C'est scandaleux. It's morally wrong. C'est pas bien moralement. That's crazy. C'est dingue. Elles expriment un désaccord. Écoutez cette phrase entendue dans le dialogue.
Wrestling is no longer a real sport in this country.
La phrase commençant par un verbe terminé en ing, ce verbe a une fonction de sujet du verbe qui le suit. Voilà d'autres exemples. Wrestling sounds like fighting sometimes. Investing in transport can be a good business. Nous avons retrouvé Uncle Dauda et son neveu Badou. Vous avez appris des expressions pour être d'accord ou ne pas l'être. Vous avez enfin appris à utiliser des verbes en ing, sujet dans les phrases. Et au fait, vous êtes d'accord avec l'oncle Dauda ou avec Badou? Pour plus de renseignements au sujet des cours d'anglais, Learning English, allez au site internet suivant à americanenglish.state.gov ou à voalearningenglish.com. Welcome to Business English. Bienvenue à notre émission consacrée à l'anglais commercial aux États-Unis. Dans ce programme, vous participerez à des voyages d'affaires, à des conversations téléphoniques, à l'échange de messages e-mail et à des interviews. Au micro, Michel Joseph.
E-mail.
Vous allez entendre l'expression e-mail, qui signifie electronic mail, courrier électronique. E-mail. Et répétez. Repeat. E-mail. Une phrase utile quand il s'agit de e-mail. To check the e-mail. Jeter un coup d'œil sur le courrier électronique. Le vérifier. To check. Le regarder. To check the e-mail. To open your email, l'ouvrir. Let's check our email.
Let's check our email. We have an email from Susan Shaw in Chicago.
Jetons un coup d'œil sur notre courrier électronique. Si vous n'avez pas une adresse électronique chez vous, il est fort possible que vous avez accès à cette boîte aux lettres sur un site comme Yahoo ou Hotmail et que vous allez vérifier votre adresse email régulièrement lorsque vous vous rendez à un cybercafé, à un cybercafé. Have you checked your email? Avez-vous vérifié votre courrier électronique? You have an email from your friend. Vous avez une lettre électronique d'un ami. Écoutez la conversation qui suit dans un bureau.
Good morning, Max. How are you today?
Fine, thank you. And you?
Just fine.
Vous avez entendu la façon dont on se dit bonjour le matin dans un bureau. Good morning, Max. Bonjour, Max. How are you today? Comment allez-vous aujourd'hui? Ou bien, comment vas-tu aujourd'hui? Fine, thank you. Bien, merci. And you? Et vous? Et toi? Just fine. Bien. Just fine. C'est littéralement tout simplement bien. Écoutez le reste de la conversation. Listen.
Now let's check our email. We have an email from Susan Shaw in Chicago. Max, she has a question for you. Her question is, do you come from Los Angeles?
Do I come from Los Angeles? No, I don't. I come from San Francisco. I don't come from Los Angeles.
Une autre façon de demander à quelqu'un d'où il vient ou d'où elle vient, quand on a l'impression d'être presque sûr de l'origine d'une personne, c'est de dire « Do you come from Dakar ?» Vous venez, tu viens de Dakar ? En fait, on s'attend alors à une confirmation et vous pouvez répondre positivement « Yes, I do » ou bien négativement « No, I do not » en contraction « No, I don't ». I come from Guinea. I don't come from Dakar. Répétez après moi. Do you come from Gabon? No, I don't. I come from Congo. Écoutez, listen. Écoutez, Kathy.
Do you come from Los Angeles?
Do I come from Los Angeles? No, I don't. I come from San Francisco. I don't come from Los Angeles.
Et quand on n'a aucune idée d'où vient une personne, on demande la question générale. Where do you come from? D'où venez-vous? D'où viens-tu? Come from signifie venir de. Where do you come from? C'est assez différent que Do you come from Dakar? Vous venez de Dakar? Écoutez, listen.
Where do you come from?
I come from San Francisco.
Where do you come from?
I come from New York.
Where do you come from?
I come from California.
Where do you come from?
I come from the US.
Et c'est tout pour cette leçon de Business English, l'anglais commercial. That's it for today. Until next time, à la prochaine fois. Au micro, Michel Joseph. Welcome to lesson number 80 of English USA. Bonjour et bienvenue à la leçon numéro 80 d'English USA. Cette fois-ci, Martin accompagne un groupe de jeunes gens et leur entraîneur dans une excursion à la montagne, a mountain hike. They are members of an outdoor adventure club. Ces jeunes appartiennent à un club sportif de plein air. Alors, êtes-vous prêt à prendre part à cette grande aventure? Au cours de cette leçon, vous apprendrez à décrire la nature. You will learn how to describe nature. English USA est diffusé en direct de Washington. Au micro, Michel Joseph. Aujourd'hui, vous allez apprendre à décrire la nature. You're going to learn how to describe nature. Martin parle avec ses jeunes filles et garçons et avec les surveillants de leur club. Il le trouve très intéressant. I don't think there are clubs like this one. Je ne pense pas qu'il y ait des clubs comme celui-ci. Écoutez le reste.
Did you start the club?
Yes, we did.
Why? Aren't there already several clubs like this one?
Paul, you answer that.
I don't think there are clubs exactly like this one. We wanted an outdoor club for both boys and girls.
And we wanted one for 9 to 12-year-olds.
Also, it's just a local club. It isn't national. These boys and girls all live in the valley below.
Mostly, we love these magnificent mountains. We wanted to help children love them, too.
I was born in the high mountains of southern France. My parents moved to Wyoming when I was 9 years old. We spent all of our free time hiking and camping in the mountains. I met Jeanette in the mountains.
In Wyoming?
Yes, I was working in one of the parks. I was a teacher in the winter, but I worked in the park in the summer. Now we spend the summer with the children in the club.
We teach them.
I want to talk to the children, too. Is that all right?
Sure.
Hannah, come here, please.
Hannah, this is Martin Lerner. He would like to ask you a few questions.
What about?
About the young adventurers. Is that all right?
We don't call ourselves that. It sounds like a movie.
What do you call yourselves?
I don't know.
Do you enjoy being outdoors?
I love it. It's my favorite time of the year.
What do you like?
I especially like the mountains.
Can you describe what you like?
It's so peaceful and quiet. All you can hear are the small birds and the little animals on the ground.
Pour mieux décrire le cadre naturel, nous devons parler des formes, des couleurs et des dimensions. Formes, shapes, les couleurs, colors, et les dimensions, sizes, ou bien the size, au singulier. Écoutez.
Magnificent mountains.
High mountains.
Peaceful and quiet. Small birds, little animals.
Pour compléter notre description du cadre naturel, nous pouvons aussi parler de l'emplacement des éléments naturels, l'un par rapport à l'autre. Par exemple, on the ground, ou bien on the hillside below, sur la colline, en dessous. Écoutez.
On the ground, far away, on the hillside below.
In the valley below of southern France.
Hello, Martin.
Hello.
Are you enjoying this beautiful spot?
Of course. And I've enjoyed talking to Roberta. She has an interesting idea about this place.
I think she's right, don't you? We're all going to study this area. In the winter, we'll read about it, too.
That's a good idea. Maybe a history of the place will tell who lived here in the mountains.
Are you ready to climb Killer Hill?
I'll never be ready, but let's try.
Regardons quelques noms. The ground, le sol. On the ground, au sol. Look at that hillside. Regardez cette colline. That's where we're going for a picnic. C'est là que nous allons pour un pique-nique. That's where we're going for a picnic. Un pique-nique. See that trail? Voyez ce sentier? That's a steep trail. C'est un sentier vraiment rapide, difficile à négocier. Look at that valley below. Regardez cette vallée en bas. À plusieurs reprises, nous avons entendu dans le texte les pronoms ourselves, nous-mêmes, et aussi yourselves, vous-même. Par exemple, dans un groupe, in a group of people, the group can say, le groupe peut dire, the group can say, we call ourselves adventurers. C'est le nom que nous nous donnons. Nous sommes des aventuriers. We call ourselves adventurers. What do you call yourselves? We call ourselves adventurers. What is your favorite place to go to in nature? Quel est votre endroit favori à visiter dans la nature? What is your favorite place to go to in nature? Do you like the seaside? How about the lake? Et le lac? How about the lake? Et à propos du lac? Et le lac, ça vous intéresse? How about the lake? Do you like mountains? Aimez-vous les montagnes? Or rivers? Ou les rivières? Or savannas? Ou les savanes? Or rainforests? Ou les forêts vierges? I like to visit national parks. J'aime aller dans les parcs nationaux. I love the outdoors. J'adore le plein air. Especially the mountains. Spécialement les montagnes. Especially the mountains. Especially. C'est un adverbe. Ou bien un autre adverbe encore que l'on rencontre ici. It's exactly that. C'est exactement ça. It's exactly that.
And that's it for lesson number 80 of English USA. Et voilà, nous arrivons à la fin de la leçon numéro 80 d'English USA. I hope that the hike did not make you too tired. J'espère que l'excursion ne vous a pas trop fatigué. Aujourd'hui, vous avez appris à décrire la nature. Today, you learned how to describe nature. Alors, sortez et amusez-vous bien. But make sure you practice hard.
Hello and welcome to Anglais Télé. Bienvenue à Anglais Télé. I'm Michelle Joseph and I have a special guest with me.
Je suis Daniel Crafton. Bienvenue à tous.
And welcome, Dan. We're very happy to see you. And you can
happy
find
to see
us.
You too.
Thank you.
You can you find us. The whole show.
You can find us on Facebook, Anglais Télé. Vous pouvez nous retrouver sur Facebook, Anglais Télé. And you can listen to our little video lessons over and over as you need to. Today, we are going to talk about a subject which is close to Daniel's heart. You see how physical I am?
Oh,
close to his heart.
And to yours, too.
And to mine, too. We both love to travel. Let me dress up again.
Yes.
Okay, we're not traveling outside.
And everybody out there likes to travel.
I think everyone loves to travel. And so we're going to break it down. We're going to start with the simplest form of travel. And I think everyone knows what that is. Let's start with Dan. Let's tease him and see if
how
he...
about walking?
Walking. Sorry, microphone. Walking is the most simplest way to travel for a human being, that
right.
is. We walk on our feet, on our legs. Do you like walking, Dan?
Yeah, I like walking.
Oh, he doesn't sound like he loves walking. I love walking.
I don't walk enough, but I like walking.
Okay, he doesn't walk enough, but he likes walking. I love walking. Walking can be for leisure, you know, if you like to walk, to stroll, or for exercise, and that means, you know, you're really walking very fast.
Especially overseas when I'm walking.
Ah, he likes to walk overseas. This is also vocabulary linked to travel.
Right.
Overseas means over the seas. So
away from America.
Away from America, for Dan, that is.
Right, yeah.
Maybe for someone in Mali, overseas
would
is...
would be here.
Exactly. All right. So let's go to the next simplest form of transportation or movement. And I put down here... bicycle. Will you agree?
Yes, I agree.
Okay, and
a lot of bicycles in the world.
A lot of bicycles. In fact, in some countries, the bicycle is really major.
It rules.
It rules.
Nobody can afford gas.
I know.
Traffic
bicycle,
jams.
You just need your two legs, right?
Yes.
And two wheels, a good bicycle.
In some countries, there's millions of bicycles.
I know, like in China, right?
Oh, darling.
They're all, you know, at a bus stop.
In a lot of Asia.
A lot of Asia uses bicycles,
bicycle
and Africa too.
Thing. Oh, yeah.
I grew up with a lot of bicycles where I grew up in Kenya. A lot of bicycles. Okay, so we've covered two modes of transportation, walking, biking. Let's take a pause, and we'll see you in a minute. Welcome back to Anglais Télé. Bienvenue à Anglais Télé. Je suis Michelle Joseph. I'm Michelle Joseph. And we
Je
have
suis
a guest.
Daniel Crafton.
Okay, great.
Bienvenue encore.
Bienvenue. Welcome, Daniel.
Yeah. Okay.
And we're talking about travel. And we are going to go to the next mode of transportation, which is very common for all of us. And it is the car.
Right.
Okay.
Too many cars in the world, but, you know.
Right. The car. La voiture. I think everyone knows
right.
what that is. All right. Do you like cars, Dan?
I like to drive, actually.
He likes to drive. So to drive is the verb connected with the car.
Right. Just put me in a car and point me somewhere, and I'm there.
Okay, so he doesn't need a GPS. You put him in a car.
Yeah, right. I am the GPS.
And he's gone. He's the GPS because he loves traveling.
Right.
And where would you drive, Dan, around here, for example?
I wouldn't drive around here.
Oh, he wouldn't drive around here. Where?
I'd drive somewhere far.
Somewhere far. So
maybe Canada.
Canada. Okay. So you have to drive north, south, west?
North.
North.
So very far north.
Very far north.
About the border's about 800 kilometers.
Okay. So about 8 to 10 hours drive.
Oh, yeah.
Or more than that, actually.
Yeah, 10.
10 hours or maybe...
To the border.
To the border of the U.S. and Canada. Okay,
right.
That's a lot of driving.
Well, I mean, I'd stop on the way.
Right. There are many stops on the way. That's nice. What are those called? Rest stops?
Rest stops.
Okay.
You get gas. You eat.
Right.
You know, you relax.
Okay, hey. And you can get out and walk.
Right. And that's the advantage of driving.
Yeah, driving is great. Okay. So... If we can't drive, the next nice mode of transportation is taking the bus, right?
Right, and the bus is inexpensive.
The bus is cheaper, usually. We don't have to pay gas.
No.
We pay for a ticket, right?
And you can sleep on the bus.
Sometimes you can sleep.
If it's a long trip.
Absolutely.
And you can relax on the bus. You can play games on the bus.
Right, because you are not driving. There's a driver. Someone
right.
else drives. And we
right.
call that person a driver.
And there's a lot of buses in the world.
A lot of buses.
Remote places. People standing out in the middle of nowhere, waiting for the little bus to come down the road.
Yes, what would we do without buses?
Beep, beep. You know.
Buses are so absolutely essential to most of us, you know.
Especially in a lot of the countries that you know.
Right, absolutely. But even for those of us who have cars, we don't want to drive to work. We don't want to drive... to certain places, we prefer to get on the bus.
Right.
Right. If the public transportation is good. Right?
Right.
Okay. So we'll leave you right there and come back with a few more modes of transportation. Welcome back to Anglais Télé. Je suis Michel Joseph. I'm Michel Joseph, and I have a special guest here.
Je suis Daniel Crafton. Bienvenue aussi.
Merci, Daniel. Bienvenue, and welcome to Anglais Télé. We're talking about Daniel's favorite subject, travel or movement, and we have arrived at the train, I believe.
Right, the train.
The train or the metro in some cases, right?
Right. But the metro's local and the train could be for the whole country.
Okay, let's distinguish between
yeah.
local. A metro is local, meaning it's for that particular city.
Or region of the city even.
Or region, right.
Yeah, it could be more than a city.
Right, because for example, in Washington, the metro extends into Maryland. It extends into Virginia.
In Paris, it extends about 80 miles.
Absolutely. I think I took the metro.
Way out into the suburbs.
Right. So the metro and train look somewhat alike, right?
Right.
You have an engine. You have a first car, which has the...
Engineer.
Engineer, and then several train wagons. They
right.
call them cars, actually.
Right. Where they ride.
Right.
People,
so train cars or metro cars... That is the term you use for the wagons, actually, right?
Right. The only difference is that a train usually goes much, much farther than the metro.
Okay. And I think the metro's fast.
So is a train.
Right. Some trains are extremely fast,
yeah,
actually.
Right.
Okay. Well, do you like the boats? Do you like boats, Daniel?
I don't go on many boats.
Oh!
I'm not a good swimmer, but... Boats are necessary.
Boats can be very useful in areas where there's a lot of water. Sometimes you have rivers in a city.
Especially in Africa.
Right. And then sometimes you have the ocean helping people to provide a means of transportation on a boat or a ferry. And you can reach another city further up the coastline, right?
Or another country.
Or another country.